Boys and girls, this is the bit before the theme music. Now, here's the thing. Every episode, I've got to try and think of something funny as the bit before the theme music. It's not that easy after 100 and something episodes. So, I thought what I'd do is share a small experience that happened to me yesterday that has nothing to do with Christmas. So, me and the wife went out for dinner and I ordered steak and she had some lovely dish. I can't remember. It was some butternut squash thing. Anyway, my steak comes. I cut into it. It's brown. I asked medium rare. Like medium rare. Remember that, kids? That is important. And I cut into it. It's just brown. It's cooked all the way through. I'm like, so I had to go and get the waitress. She was busy. They were short-staffed. I didn't kick up a fuss, okay? But I got the waitress. I said, look, can you have a look at this? I said, I asked medium rare. That's not medium rare. And then she goes, well, cut into the fat bit. So I cut into the thicker bit, and it was a little bit pink in the middle. I'd say medium at best, not medium rare. And she goes, well, that's medium. I goes, nah, I'd say that's more medium. Then one of the other waiters was walking past. I goes, can we get a second opinion? He comes over. I'm like, look, do you reckon that's medium or medium rare? And he's like, I'd say medium rare. I'm like, that's not medium rare. I know medium rare. And it's like, and he said something like, well, people's take on how a steak is cooked, it can be different. I'm like, not really. People know what medium rare is. That ain't medium rare. And they could see that the rest of it anyway was cooked all the way through. It's just the fat bit was still a bit pink. And they were like, well, we'll cook you another one. But here's the thing, boys and girls. I didn't want another one, not because I was happy with the steak. I wasn't happy with the steak. But my wife, she's been eating her dinner already. She's getting through it. By the time I get my steak, she'll be finished watching me eat my steak. And also, it's a waste of steak, isn't it? I don't want to waste food. You know, I don't want to be that guy that said, give me another steak until it's perfect. You know, my point is, I just wanted to complain for the sake of it. Not for a new steak. I didn't want them to take it off the bill either. That wasn't my intention, and they didn't. And I said, look, the whole point of this is I just wanted my thoughts heard. The only person who's going to lose out in this situation is me by eating the steak. And that's it. That's the story. It's not a great story, I know, but it's a story of something that happened to me. They did actually give me my dessert for free, which I didn't want. I wanted the dessert. I didn't want it for free. They were short-staffed. It wasn't a big deal. But I just thought, from the minute I cut into the steak and saw it was overdone, I knew I was still going to eat it. But I still wanted to complain about it, even though I didn't want another steak. What does that tell you about me? Should we just get on to the Christmas stuff? Because this is going nowhere, is it? That was the bit before the theme music. It was awful. I'll try to do better next time. Run the theme music.
What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this?
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get started with the interactive bit. How you been? Don't care. So, I haven't got anything to report. Nothing's happened since last time, I don't think. Went out for dinner with the wife. Shall I tell you the story about this steak I bought? Probably don't want to hear it. I got an email from Kevin Church. It's brilliant. It just says, still listening. I thought that's brilliant. That's what I want. That's perfect for me. Now I know he's still listening. It's good to know he's out there. He sent this meme through and it's this picture. It says, you can't just post a picture of a random forehead and expect people to recognise, and it just stops because you'd recognise the forehead. Do you know what? I didn't recognise the forehead. And I'd seen that. I think it might have been Jerry Davila from the Totally Rad Christmas podcast. I think he might have posted that on Facebook and I didn't recognise it then. I had to Google it. And it's like, I'm not going to say whose forehead it is. Hopefully, if you ever see the meme, you'll be like, yeah, I know whose that is. I didn't know. Maybe I should share it on Facebook. Maybe I'll do that. I probably won't. I forget. But I should do that. That's what it says. So maybe I should. So that's something I should do, but I probably won't do. But I might. We'll find out. If you follow me on Facebook, you'll find out, won't you? And have a look on it. If it pops up, it pops up. If it don't pop up, well, can we just move on? Thanks for that, Kev. I also got another email from another listener called Heather Kincaid, and the title is Texas Letter Carrier. So I believe she's what I would call a postwoman, or postperson, or postie for short. And she's put, I love your style. I think she's talking about the way I dress, because my podcast style is poor at best, but my dress sense, boys and girls, if you could see me right now, I'm actually sat in my pants. Can you believe that? I'm not joking either. You think I'm joking? I don't care. The rest of the show, mainly is rubbish. This bit is true. At the moment, this part of the show, I'm sat here in my pants and there's not a massive hole, but there is a hole in the crotch. And it's not because they're crutchless, it's because I've just had them so long. Don't picture that, kid. Try to erase that, but that's what's happening. That's who you're listening to. As you're listening to this podcast, you're listening to a man, middle-aged man, a very handsome middle-aged man, sitting in his pants that have got holes in them. What is that? And when I say pants, kids, I'm not talking about what they wear in America, what they call pants. I'm talking about underwear. Yes, underpants. Should I go and put some clothes on? That's something that we've done it again, haven't we, boys and girls? That's something I should do, not something I am going to do. That's something I should do. Okay, can we move on? So Heather's put, I love your style, meaning I love your dress sense, not the pants bit. She's talking about what I normally wear, which is debonair. Yeah, I'm debonair. I'm not sure if we can make requests. You can't. But I would sure like to learn about Christmas trees. For instance, the tree in New York City. They get one every year. Is there some type of history behind that? I will look into it in a later podcast, just because it's nice to get an email. So on this occasion, I will look into that. I'll do it. Maybe even next episode. I don't know. I haven't decided. But here's the thing. I'll just quickly tell you about the one in New York. So what they do, the one in New York is Rockefeller Center. What they do is they plant a new one. So when they get rid of the old one, right, they chuck it out. Yeah, just throw it in the street. They just throw it. It's massive, but they throw it in the street. Someone will deal with that. It's not their problem now. They got rid of it. It's in the street. It's not their problem. They plant a new one from the previous years. So they get a seed from the previous year's Christmas tree, plant it, okay, they have a big ceremony, it's only three people, so it's not that big. They have this ceremony, and then they plant it, and that tree grows, and in the space of a year, it grows to a humongous size to be the tree at the Rockefeller Center. One year, they planted the seed, and it wasn't a Christmas tree seed, it was actually a grass seed, and they had a little blade of grass that they had to try and decorate. Now, none of that is probably true, boys and girls, but I think we've all learnt something from it. Let's do this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Question number one. Oh, that's getting straight in there, isn't it? Goodness me, sorry. Let me just introduce the fact that this is the quiz, okay? Right, question number one. In October 2021, which hugely successful British novelist published a children's novel titled The Christmas Pig? Okay, question number two. Who spent some of her early years growing up on a Christmas tree farm in Pennsylvania and wrote the 2019 song Christmas Tree Farm, which failed to make the UK top 40? Aww. Yeah, who was that? Question number three. The name of which of Santa's reindeer comes last alphabetically? Okay? Yeah. Do you know what? I'm going to pause just to let you get that one, okay? You know Dasher. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but you know. Yeah. Okay. Got it? Okay, next one. Which 2004 film starring Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis is based on the comedic novel Skipping Christmas? Now, you better get that one, boys and girls. You better get that one, because I covered that book. I covered that book. That was the first ever book review I did. And I tell you a story about that book review. I recorded it twice. Because the first time, I was drunk when I recorded it. And it was ridiculous. It was just a shambles. So the second time I recorded it, and it was still a shambles, so I actually used the one where I'd had a few drinks. Yeah. Good story, wasn't it? No. Question number whatever. Known as Little Miss Dynamite, which US singer peaked at number 25 in 1964 with the song Christmas Will Be Just Another Day? Now, I'm going to give you a clue for this one. I won't lie to you, kids, I didn't get this one. But she also had another very popular Christmas song. That's all I'm going to say, but that might help you. Question number whatever. What is the common name, okay, the common name for the evergreen perennial flowering plant in the buttercup family? I did not know it was in the buttercup family. And I'm a gardener, and that's embarrassing. So, for this evergreen plant, it's called Helleborus niger, which is also known as black hellebore. Okay, but it's got another name, its common name. All right, what's its common name? Okay, next one. Complete the title of the 2017 film starring Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell, A Bad Moms. They spell it moms, it's mom in the States, isn't it? We say mum with a U in the UK. So it's A Bad Moms. What? Well, fill in the blank, kids. Fill in the blank. And next one. What does the name Bethlehem mean in Hebrew? Okay? The name Bethlehem. What does it mean in Hebrew? Question number 9. Because he didn't know how old he was when he arrived in England, it was decided that which bear should have 2 birthdays a year, the 25th of June and Christmas Day. Here's a question, right? Why, not knowing how old you are, why would that allow you to have 2 birthdays? I've no idea how old I am, so I'm going to age twice as quickly as everyone else. What is that? What, boys and girls, is that? And that last bit, what is that, is not one of the questions. Question number... Oh, hang on, up to number 10. This is it. This is the last one, kids. It's a multiple choice. Okay, so what is Mrs. Claus's first name in the 1996 film Mrs. Santa Claus, played by Angela Lansbury? Here are your multiple choices. Multiple choices 1. Is her name Arabella? Multiple choices 2. Is her name Angela? Multiple choices... Is it annoying me saying that every time? Because I'm quite enjoying it. Multiple choices 3. Is her name Anna? And finally, multiple choices 4. Is her name Andrea? Tell me now, boys and girls. Tell me. Tell us all. Right. That is your questions. Here come your answers. Question number 1. Whom wrote that book? Right? The one about the Christmas pig. Whom? Well, I knew this one, boys and girls, and it was J.K. Rowling. Yes, her of the Harry Potter books wrote The Christmas Pig. I haven't read The Christmas Pig. I sort of feel like I should one day. We'll see. Question number 2. Who spent some of her early years growing up on a Christmas tree farm in Pennsylvania and wrote the 2019 song Christmas Tree Farm, which failed to make the UK Top 40? Who was that, kids? Because I know it did make the charts. I think it got to like number 19 or something in the US. Maybe it's in the 20s somewhere. Other countries it did all right. In the UK, it did chart, but like it's number 60 or something, I think. Anyway, that was Taylor Swift. Yeah. I've heard the song, actually. I listened to it after like reading about it because I'd never heard of it. It's quite a nice one, actually. I feel like she's sort of going for the old Mariah Carey vibe a little bit there. Next one. The name of which of Santa's reindeer comes last alphabetically? Well, I'm going to help you by singing. You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid, Zachary and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer? Rudolph the Reindeer. So the answer was, of course, Zachary. Zachary the reindeer, yes. Or Vixen, if you want to get the correct answer. Your choice, kids. Your choice. Question something. Which 2004 film starring Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis is based on the comedic novel Skipping Christmas? I tell you this, kids, didn't find it that comedic, but there you go. The answer, of course, to that one was Christmas with the Cranks. Next one. Known as Little Miss Dynamite, which US singer peaked at number 25 in 1964 with the song Christmas Will Be Just Another Day? Well, the answer to that one was Brenda Lee. Yes, Brenda Lee, of course, who sang Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And next one. What is the common name for the evergreen perennial flowering plant in the buttercup family, Helleborus niger, which is also known as black hellebore? Well, the answer they've given is Christmas rose. And I know them as a winter rose. But I thought, this is a Christmas book. I bet they called it a Christmas rose, not a winter rose. But I know it was winter rose. And you should know that, boys and girls, when you listened to my incredibly boring segment about plants that flower at Christmas. Do you remember that segment? No one does. It was really boring. Yeah. So there you go. The hellebore is known as a Christmas rose. Did you know what? This is a complete aside, right? One of my customers, I'm a gardener, one of my customers got their garden landscaped. I don't do the landscaping, I just do the maintenance. They got it landscaped, spent thousands. The people that designed, this is true, I'm not making this up. The people that designed their garden, right, they did all the landscaping, they're very rich, these customers. Their next customer was Tom Hiddleston. Yeah, I'm not joking, this is true. So they finished, right, and all the hellebores are dying already. And I was looking at, this is yesterday this happened, I was looking at the flowers with one of my customers. She goes, all the hellebores are dying. And I said to them, they shouldn't be putting hellebores there. But Richard, that's the guy, he's doing Tom Hiddleston's garden. I think they're still working on it. I know where he lives. I don't know the exact place, I know roughly. It's near me. It's not that, I say near me, it's not like down the road. It's like about less than 10 miles from my house. Anyway, can I finish my story? And all these hellebores are dying, all of them. And he said, oh no, they just need time to settle. They've had time to settle, mate. Those hellebores are dying, all of them. Apart from one, looked all right. It didn't look good, it looked all right. So he said, well, next time it comes, we'll have to have a word with him about this. Problem is, they're having trouble getting hold of him. You know why? Because he's out schmoozing with Tom Hiddleston. Yes. Now, here's the question. What has that got to do with Christmas? The answer is, we may never know. Okay, where were we? Next one. Did we learn anything from that story, kids? Did we learn anything from it? Do you know what? If you want, I might update you. I might give you an update in the next sort of month or so to see if they have to replant the hellebores or change him with another plant. I probably won't know. The saga continues, kids. The saga continues. Okay, question number one. Complete the title of the 2017 film starring Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell, A Bad Mums. This happens so frequently in this book where it's fill in the blank and the blank is nearly always Christmas. And in this case, the blank is Christmas. Yeah. You seen that film? It's all right, actually. Didn't mind it. I like the first one. I like the second one. They're all right. Next one. What does the name Bethlehem mean in Hebrew? Now, I'm going to give you a point if you say anything about bread. Okay? Because I knew it was something to do with bread and I want that point. And I think it's bread. It's something to do with bread. Is it bread? Bread? Something bread. And I think in my brain I was sort of thinking house of bread because that's what it is. But I couldn't remember it. But that's what Bethlehem means. It means house of bread. Although in the book it's put house or bread. But I know they mean house of bread. Because if you Google it, it means the house of bread. Not like a house that's made of bread. It means the house where they have bread. Bakers. If you said the bakers, I'll let you have it. House of bread. Imagine if it was like a little house of bread. No, but he was born in a stable made of bread. So they all had a snack after he was born. It was nice. Right. Question number whatever. Oh, number nine. Because he didn't know how old he was when he arrived in England, it was decided that which bear should have two birthdays a year, the cheeky blighter. 25th of June and Christmas Day. Well, that was P-A-D-D-I-N-G-T-O-M Paddington Bear. Yeah, Paddington Bear, of course. And finally, what is Mrs. Claus's first name in the 1996 film Mrs. Santa Claus, played by Angela Lansbury? Is it... I'm just going to read them out this time. I'm not going to say multiple choices each time. Even though you want to hear it, kids, I ain't doing it. Arabella, Angela, Anna or Andrea. And I said Anna and the answer was... Anna, I'm a rock star. I scored 8, kids. I'm quite happy with that. I am quite happy with that. I didn't know the Taylor Swift one. I didn't know the Brenda Lee one, to my shame. But I did know the rest. So, hooray for me. I hope you did well in that. And if you didn't do well, I hope you've got other things going on in your life that make you happy. Should we move on? Yeah, let's move on. Boys and girls, this will come as a little bit of a relief for you because you don't have to picture me sitting here in nothing but my underpants because Bob's here. So you can picture Bob in his underpants or picture him fully clothed. Do what you want. I don't know what he was wearing when he recorded this, but here he is.
Thanks, Jack. It is always nice when spreading joy can make you feel good as well. During the holidays, we often find ways to help our fellow man. Maybe in the off season, you can try a different tact and spend time with unwanted or abandoned animals. It's a great way to unselfishly give of your time and attention, and even though they won't be able to thank you verbally, they find other ways to show their appreciation. These animals need love and affection. They're often caged for months at the local shelter, hoping to be adopted. Many shelters will let you spend one-on-one time with the animals. Some will even let you take a dog out for a few hours to play with, or walk on a local trail. These outings are a wonderful way to bring happiness, even for just a day, to an animal in need. The experience of providing comfort to innocent creatures can be very fulfilling. If you know of another way to spread love to those who need it most, you give the direction to Jack. He'll give me the command, and we'll spread some four-legged friendship along with smiles of joy around the world.
That's a great one, that is, I think, because doing volunteer work always makes you feel good, you know, and also it helps other people. But when you're working with animals, I think it's even more rewarding. And I've got a friend and they often take the dogs from the Blue Cross for a walk. Yeah, that's a really good one. A good way to make yourself feel good and help our four-legged friends. So yeah, good one there, Bob. He'll be back again a little bit later on, but now we're doing this. Boys and girls, this episode's joke is a little bit longer than normal, but I read it and I quite liked it. So just sit back and listen to my dulcet tones tell you this joke. It was the afternoon of Christmas Eve and a man suddenly remembered that he'd forgotten to buy the turkey. He jumped in his car and drove to the shops in record time, arriving just as the butcher was preparing to close for the holiday period. "Please let me in," he begged. "I forgot to buy a turkey for tomorrow. My wife will kill me if I don't come home with one." "Okay," said the butcher, happy to make a last minute sale. "Let me see what I've got left." He goes to the freezer, but there's only one scrawny turkey left. He brought it out to show the man. "Oh, that one's too skinny," he said. "Have you got any others?" The butcher took the bird back to the freezer, waited a couple of minutes, before bringing the same turkey out again for the man to inspect. "Well, how about this one?" said the butcher. "Oh, that one's pretty skinny as well. I'll tell you what, why don't I take both of them?" Get it? Because there was... Yeah, you get it. Yeah. I liked it. Anyway, it was harmless, wasn't it? Yeah. Right. I'm still in my pants.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
And... Boys and girls, you may remember that last episode I played five Christmas songs that Bob Baker had sent me from the States, and I received this email from my dear friend Scott Newman, our US correspondent, and he has put, "I'm as American as Uncle Sam, and I had only heard of the first song you played. All the others were unknown to me." Yeah, so one, that was the one by Goo Goo Dolls, I believe. He'd heard that one, hadn't heard any of the other four. And I also received this one from Timothy R. Dumont, and he's put, "I think people might be trolling you with this American song segment. I am 38 years old, so no spring chicken, compared to me you are, mate, and my current Christmas playlist on Spotify is over 2,600 songs. I studied music formally for several years at Montclair State University. With the exception of the Goo Goo Dolls song in the last episode, I've never heard the other songs. And while some of them are decent songs, it is a far cry to think that they get regular airplay by any measure over on our side of the pond." He's got 2,600 songs, and those five, only one of them appear in it. 2,600, Bob. Are you listening to this? Now, I don't believe for one second that Bob would try and troll me. I don't believe that. Bob is a good man. He has a good heart. He has a great podcast. So, I am hoping that these are songs that are played in Illinois, and maybe that's why the other guys hadn't heard them. I've got four more to go through. I'm still doing it, boys and girls. I'm still doing it. Even, in fact, this might be something for, you know, the American listeners to go, "Oh, I've not heard that one either." Instead of going, "What is Bob thinking about?" So we've got the next four. They're all by bands I'd heard of. And the first one is by the Plain White Tees. Here it comes. I tell you what, kids, talk about your one-hit wonders. I just had a look on their discography, and aside from Hey There, Delilah, they've hardly had anything hit the charts and nothing higher than the top 20 anywhere in the world. A little aside there about Hey There, Delilah, I used to sing a half-decent version like Kermit the Frog. I'll give it a shot, okay? I'll see how I get on. Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in New York City? You're 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. There you go. That's the best I can do. Yeah, and this song didn't chart anywhere. Looks like it wasn't released as a single. To be honest, Bob, I'm starting to believe what Scott and Tim were saying. This was on an album called A Taste of Christmas, which was part of this tour of rock bands called A Taste of Chaos, which started in 2006. And they toured, these rock bands did, all around the world, and they released a couple of albums. I've never heard the song before, and I'm beginning to wonder if anyone other than Bob has. Okay, next one.
At the KOC, local 313, there's a fat man standing by the soda machine. And he knows, life can be funny. He calls the hair salon, says put Loretta on, 'cause the mall just called and said the last guy's gone. And I know, God knows, we need the money. And he's a big red cherry, but it's hard to be merry when the kids are all laughing, saying, hey, it's Jerry Garcia. Ain't he cute? The man in the Santa suit.
So this one is by Fountains of Wayne. You probably know Fountains of Wayne because of this song. This was on a compilation of their B-sides from 2005 called Out of State Plates. And again, I've never heard it, and I'm guessing you haven't. But it's funny because actually Fountains of Wayne did have another Christmas single. This one was from 1997 and it was called I Want an Alien for Christmas. And that one, it hit the charts in the UK. It got to number 36, I think. Didn't hit the charts anywhere else, but it was also on an episode of Roswell, and it was on the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. Yeah, should have picked that one, shouldn't you, Bob? I wouldn't have heard that one either. Well, I guess I would have, because I've watched the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, but I don't remember that song. But I definitely don't remember this one, so we're going to move on to the next one, and this is it.
Don't shoot me,
here's the thing. I have heard this song, but only because I did a segment on a couple of Killers songs. I did Great Big Sled, and then the following week I did Boots. Now, the Killers did this thing, I won't go into it in too much depth, where they released a Christmas single every year for 10 years, and I think they gave the money to charity. I could be wrong. They might have spent the money on hookers. But this is one of the songs I listened to when I was doing that segment. I never covered it, but interestingly, it charted in the UK, it didn't chart in the US, it did chart in Canada and Ireland. But, kids, sorry to say, other than that, I hadn't heard this one either. I don't know if you have. Bob mentions that I covered Great Big Sled, but he said this one is a bit more popular. Maybe it is in Illinois, I don't know about the rest of the states. And this, boys and girls, is the last song. Here it comes. One was Christmas Eve / Sarajevo by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and Bob has put it's the Christmas event. Now, I'm pretty sure I have actually heard this one. It rings a bell, but I don't know where from. I'm guessing this one is a lot more popular to everyone. Now, on Wikipedia, it's only given me results from the US, but it was released originally in 1996, and it hit 25 on the US Adult Top 40. And then they've got this US holiday chart. I don't know if they're still doing it, but it reached number 19 in 2009 and number 15 in 2012. So I'm guessing it does get the airplay, and I'm guessing some of you know it. I looked up to see what movies and that it had been in, and the only ones that came up was a TV show called Instant Family, and I don't remember that one, but it was also on an episode of Life in Pieces in 2017. And I'm a big fan of Life in Pieces. I don't know if you ever watched it. It ran for 3 seasons. It was a little bit of a rip-off of Modern Family, to be honest, but it was good. I always enjoyed it. But yeah, so I think I know this song. I definitely would have heard it because I've watched all the episodes of Life in Pieces, but I can't tell you any more about it than that. So there we go. That was it. That was the segment. I think we're pretty much all glad that's over now. Apologies to my mate Bob, but I didn't know many of them, and sounds like no one else did either. But as a little aside, I am still sitting here in my pants. So we got that going on, kids. We got the whole pants thing going on. Now let's do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
I am reminded, as we watch the strife and sadness around the globe, we must always raise a glass and use this hopeful toast from the tiki bar. May the only pain in your life be champagne. So I need to return back to my podcast friend from last month. You remember Jim and his podcast called, I don't know, Absolute Xmas? Well, in the same episode that he said quid, he was talking to another podcaster about their mutual Christmas experience. They had spent quite a bit of time sharing memories and customs, and at the end, his guest said it was a good old British chinwag. A what? A windbag? A tin man? A penguin? What did he say? My do you hear what I hear alarm was pealing. Just what had they experienced in a good old British way? A chinwag. Just the way it sounds. It is interesting to note how, as a society, we find creative and colorful ways to describe how we communicate with each other. In the United States, we may say that we are chewing the fat or shooting the breeze. But in the UK, it can be a chinwag. President Obama once famously used this term chinwag following talks with Australia's Prime Minister when he wanted to inject some local slang for comic effect. Now, what I have learned from those endless Planet of the Apes movies is it is speech that separates us from the animals. So we all seem to be endlessly fascinated with language. Chinwag is a term that has been used in England since the Victorian era, when its first known use was in 1879 in the weekly satirical magazine Punch. Now, Punch is an influential publication that began printing in 1841 and it continued until 1992. And it was named after that male puppet, Mr. Punch, of the Punch and Judy shows. Now, chinwag can be used as both a noun and as a verb. Most will argue that it is a compound word, using chin, the body part, and then wag, which refers to the movement of the chin when speaking. Just like the shake of a dog's tail, this is a humorous way to describe the vertical movement of how the jaw and the chin move up and down when talking. When you imagine a wagging chin, you can see how this word can be used as a reference to a conversation. Chinwag is a nuanced term. It is an expression used to denote a chat or gossip in Britain with a friend or an acquaintance. It does not specifically mean to talk a lot or to endlessly babble, but it describes a more casual or informal conversation, like you would have in a pub, which leads us to an alternative interpretation. Now, I need to be careful, as I was sucked into a false narrative before, but there is another translation provided by a historian in Wales. She argues that chinwag instead comes from a Welsh phrase. The story is that there was a village pub in Capel Celyn, a small rural Welsh community. The landlady of the pub would walk around with a jug of ale, refilling customers' glasses. She would say, "Chinwag," which translates to, "You're empty." The argument is that those who did not understand Welsh applied the meaning of the term chinwag to the conversations that the villagers were having in the pub over their pints. Well, I've enjoyed this little chinwag here, but my pint is chinwag, so I need a refill. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Well, after the whole fiasco with these Christmas songs that no one apart from Bob has heard of, I had to double check the whole chinwag thing, and I looked into it, and yeah, it is highly possible that that's where it originated from, and maybe they thought they were saying chinwag when really they were saying empty. The translation of "you're empty" does come out as, it's like, "riddish chinwag." So I don't know what the first bit means, but yeah, there you go. So I'm not sure if I believe it, but great research there, Bob. Well done, young man. While I'm here, you might be as disappointed with Bob as I am with the whole Christmas songs fiasco. However, Bob's podcast is brilliant, and their next episode is going to be their 1 year anniversary. So if you've never listened before, what better place to start than 1 year in? I can think of a better place at the very beginning. Anyway, check it out. It's called Festive Foreign Film Fans. Him and his mate Mark talk about festive foreign films because they're fans of them. Yeah, the last one was really cool. It was this film from Thailand and it was 3 hours long. And luckily, they only talked about it for an hour, so I feel like I didn't have to watch it. Well done, Bob. So thanks for that, Bob. And now it's time for this. Now, boys and girls, I'm sure some of you are finding this episode quite traumatic because I am sitting here in my underpants with holes in them. But don't worry, because this next segment, I recorded it with Adam Parker from the Merry Britsmas podcast, and when we recorded it, I was fully clothed. Yeah, and Adam was too, because I could see him on the screen. So don't worry, okay? For the next few minutes, I will have clothes on, okay? Then in the segment after, they're off again. Sorry about that. Okay, yeah, we haven't had one of these in a while, so this will be nice. Here it comes. Okay, boys and girls, he was on the last couple of episodes and the episode before that, and he's back again to tell us how he found out the truth about Santa Claus, Father Christmas. He is, of course, from Merry Britsmas. This is Adam Parker. Adam, tell us your tale.
For me, I think I must have been about, I'm guessing, somewhere about 9 or 10. Maybe 8 when it really started to dawn. And it was playground chat. It all started with playground chat. It was kids talking about what they've heard, what Santa is Santa real? And must have been about 8, I think, when it sort of started. But I was a proper Christmas fan and I kind of just pushed it all away. I think I chose the method of ignore them, they're idiots, they don't know what they're talking about, deny that what they're saying could potentially be true, that there is no such thing as a Father Christmas, as a Santa Claus. I remember the conversations in the playground not upsetting me, but making me feel a bit like, oh, I don't like this, I don't like these conversations, and sort of walking away from them and ignoring the boys and girls that were talking about them at school. And then the next couple of years, age 9 maybe, I think, was definitely when I started to really think, is there something in this? Is there something actually that I'm questioning? Now, I think at either 9 or 10, I can't remember exactly now, was when I did just ask my older sister. I just asked her one day, like, we were sort of sat around. I don't think it was even Christmas. I think it was like November, you know, it wasn't the full Christmas season yet. You know, it's Father Christmas, or Santa, I probably said Santa. Is Santa, you know, kids in the playground talk, and I think I'd maybe seen something on telly as well. Is it mom and dad? Is it mom and dad? And she just sort of looked across at me. She's about 10 years older than me, my sister. And sort of just nodded slowly and went, yeah, it's your mom and dad. I think you figured it out now. And then she told my mom for me that I'd figured it out, because I was like, I don't really want to talk to mom dad about it. And so I think she told my mom, and then my mom came and just chatted to me about it. And I was quite mature and grown up. It wasn't like, I wasn't particularly devastated. It was just a, okay, so this is how it is now. This is the information I've learned. But my brother was a few years younger. He was about 4 years younger than me. So I was definitely remember being told, shh, keep stum still. It's still a secret for him. So keep it a secret for him. So he kept the magic alive for him for another 2 or 3 years at least, so he could enjoy Christmas as it's meant to be. But I know really secretly there is a Father Christmas. He's around. He's there still. I know it's still in existence.
Well, that's a nice way of looking at it. But yeah, Robin's getting to that age now where I'm starting to think she's questioning. But I think even when she's fully aware, she's still going to pretend that she believes, because I think she just wants to believe that much.
Yeah, that's what I was
My story is very similar to yours. We had to keep it quiet for my younger brother. But me and my older brother, he was wise to it. But he was only 2 years older than me. So I've got a feeling that when Robin... I've got a feeling that Robin will just never admit that she knows it's not true. You know, there's no Santa. I think they'll just because I've got a mate and he was telling me that his daughter was 13 and she still believed. And I was like, no, she doesn't. Really? No, you can't actually believe.
I'm a teacher. I work with kids that age, and there's no way it would, you know, in the school environment, even with the other kids talking about it. Like I said, the kids were talking about it when I was 7, 8, 9, 10. Definitely. Yeah. It was a topic of conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you're 7 or 8, you kind of ignore it or go, no, shut up. But 9 and 10, it definitely starts to become you know, kids shouting it or telling other kids it in a usually quite a mean way. You know, I think definitely would have happened. Yeah, I don't know if 13's quite at the stage yet.
No, he was deluding himself that she was deluding herself. Yeah,
Christmas delusion.
Well, thanks for coming on again and sharing that one with us. That was a nice one. It's very similar to mine. I think everyone's story is different, but so many are similar. If you want to share yours, boys and girls, of how you found out, then sort it out, share it, send it in, get yourself together. Adam, are you going to plug the show again?
Of course I am.
I know you've done it the last couple of times, and to be quite frank, we're sick of it, but you're here now, so why not?
It's free advertising for me. So Merry Britsmas. It's a podcast all about British Christmas things. That is British Christmas music, British Christmas television, and also traditions and history and things you might not know. If you're British, you might be feeling just a bit nostalgic and remember these things. If you're not British, hopefully it's a bit educational and maybe as well giving you some new music to listen to, some new TV shows to watch. So check me out, all good podcast apps, including Spotify. Also, you can follow me on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter. I think that's it. All Merry Britsmas. Give me a follow, give me a listen.
Highly recommended, boys and girls. Thanks for coming on, Adam, and thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you so much. Cheers, Jack.
Cheers, buddy. I want to say thanks again to Adam for coming on the show. That was the last of the segments we recorded, so he's been on, that's the fourth episode, and I had a real blast chatting to him. The bad news is, boys and girls, it's back to me, and I'm still in my pants. So there's that. Yeah, now let's do this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is called Three Ghosts, and it was originally a four-part podcast from Pipe Dream Theatre. And here's the blurb. Pipe Dream Theatre began in 2010. Since then, we have written and produced multiple stage musicals, audio shows, and short films. Our musicals and plays are designed to give you a breathtaking, immersive 3D audio experience. Epic music, outstanding performances recorded throughout the world, and the most incredible environments and effects your minds can conjure. And that's Pipe Dream Theatre. They do stage musicals, but they also do these audio podcasts. They recently won the most creative podcast for their episode Hansel and Gretel at the Cinemonic Podcast Festival. So congratulations to that one. And this is the blurb about the show. Three Ghosts is an epic retelling of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. With a cast of over 40 people self-recording from all over the world, Australia, Colombia, Germany, the Philippines, Russia, Scotland, South Africa and the United States, Pipe Dream Theatre has created a brand new musical podcast experience. Complete with 20 incredible songs and 3D sound, this time-old tale has never been heard like this before. Yeah, and I've got to say, It's amazing. This was recorded during the pandemic, and it was self-recorded by all these people around the world, and they put it together. And I have no idea how they managed it. Like, the voices make sense, but the music is very impressive. This really is a professional production, and the songs are actually pretty good as well. Yeah, I've listened to this a number of times. The whole show is 2 hours long, 2 hours and 8 minutes, and the songs really are catchy, and I've enjoyed it. Here's the deal. It is a retelling of A Christmas Carol. They've changed it in places. Not massively. There are no huge changes, but there are some changes that I think are very interesting. So I'm going to run through it, and pretty much I'm mainly going to be talking about where it's different. You've got to remember, this isn't like an audiobook, so there's no narrator. So you have to understand what's going on just from what they're talking about, rather than some bloke in the background saying, "Scrooge went into his chambers and locked the door." So I'm going to run through it. So first up, we all know that A Christmas Carol was written in 1843, so like the mid-1800s. And this is how it begins.
Christmas Eve, the late 1800s.
Right, you blew it! You blew it! I'm out! No, I'm kidding. No, they've changed it. I don't know why they said the late 1800s. There's nothing in it to suggest it would have been 40 or 50 years later than it was originally written. I don't know if that was just an oversight. I'm not sure what happened there. But anyway, so in the book, the first line is, Marley was dead to begin with. And it starts in Marley's bedchamber, and he's still alive. I'm out! Forget it! I'm gone! You blew it. Now, this scene is not taken from the book, and it does let us know a little bit more about Jacob Marley. So Marley is on his deathbed, and Scrooge is there, and Marley's saying, "Oh, it's too dark, light another candle." And Scrooge says, "It's going to cost you 10 shillings. And Marley's like, "I don't have 10 shillings. And we find out that Marley actually spends his money. Whereas Scrooge just hoards his, Marley does actually spend it. And we find out that it was Marley that hired Bob Cratchit and gave him the job originally. And also it's mentioned that Marley has got like a big bag of dollies for some reason in his room. Yeah. So then Scrooge is like, "I'll sell you this candle for 10 shillings. And he's like, "I haven't got 10 shillings. He says, "Well, then give me half the house." But it's mentioned that Scrooge already owns half of the house. So it's like, what, do they live there together? Or does Marley only own half of it and he lived there? In the book, of course, it says that it belonged to Marley and Scrooge took it over after Marley passed. I don't know if it's suggesting they lived together or if they had half of it each. I'm not sure. Anyway, then it leads straight into our first song, which is Marley singing about dying, and then he dies, and then a chorus comes in singing about his funeral, about how no one came. I'll play a little bit.
No one came to say the last farewell
as he dug his grave.
Now let's pray to hell.
Then after that, we get a song set in the scene that it's actually Christmas Eve. And we're now in modern times. I say modern times, we're up to date, not the past when Marley carked it. And this song, I almost feel like this should have been the one that started the whole production. If they hadn't had the bit with Marley at the start, like the dreary Marley dying in a dark room, I almost feel like it might have been better starting with this big show-stopping tune where everyone's singing about Christmas. Let me play a little bit of this one for you as well.
How is
And this is where we get to see just how high quality this production is. The music and everything, really, in my opinion, I'm no expert, but I think it's really quite fantastic. So again, another change. It starts off in the counting house and we can hear this voice saying, "Scrooge." And Scrooge thinks it's Cratchit talking to him. It's not. So he starts having a go at Cratchit. And at this point, let me say about Scrooge, I'm not going to go into the actors of all of the characters because I'd be here forever doing that. I want to say all the actors are pretty damn good, though. The guy that plays Scrooge, His voice, very similar to the Jim Carrey version of Scrooge, I think. I'll play a little bit, you can see what I mean.
I wish to hear nothing. No voices. Not yours, not anyone's.
Yeah, do you see what I mean? And there's other bits where it sounds very like him. Anyway, he has a go at Cratchit for saying his name, even though Cratchit says, I'm not saying your name. And then in comes his nephew, Fred. Or does he? Because he ain't got a nephew. He has a niece, and her name is Freya. Yeah. And at this point, let me point out that they really don't follow the dialogue. In some versions, they'll follow the dialogue a little bit and they might change the odd word to make it more accessible. In this one, they've thrown most of the dialogue out the window. The scene with Freya is actually quite long compared to in the book and in most movie adaptations. She comes in and explain this to me. She's his niece. We find out later that Scrooge did live fairly close to his sister, Fan, before she passed. She lives in London. How come she's got a Scottish accent? What is that about? Eh? Yeah. Right. I'm going to have to turn a blind eye to that. So the whole point that he's got a niece instead of a nephew, I'm going to go into that a little bit later because there's some very interesting subtext that I picked up on that, you know, you might think, nah, I'm not sure about that. But we'll come to that later. There is an interesting line where she has a rant about Christmas and Scrooge says this.
A nephew would never have spouted such tripe.
And I thought that was quite funny. Anyway, she leaves and Scrooge gives Cratchit the day off. And then the next song, you've got to pay attention to it because this is the bit where Scrooge is going home, but he's being accosted by people wishing him Merry Christmas, which he hates. But then the charity collectors are in the song as well and they're asking him to give some money and he says no, obviously. Then he gets home and this is something you don't ever see normally. There's some kids hanging around outside his house. And he's like, oh, what are we doing here? Clear off, because they're trying to get in because they're cold and they want to be somewhere warm. And he's like, you don't want to go in there, kids. And he tells them the story. He tells them this.
At night, just after the sun goes down, right around this time, the hauntings start. Doors open and close on their own. Candles flicker and extinguish. And then, small children, white as death, giggle as they float down the halls. Servant bells ring throughout the empty house. The walls expand as if they were breathing. Then it all stops, and in the absolute stillness of the house, that's when I hear it.
Hear what?
The voice of my old partner, Jacob Marley, calling my name, calling to take me to hell. Scrooge.
And then Scrooge goes inside, there's no door knocker scene, but then pretty much exactly what happens next is as Scrooge described it to the kids. He hears the children giggling, he hears a voice saying his name, and this time Scrooge has to go and find Marley. Marley doesn't come into his room, Scrooge is going room to room, and then he goes into Marley's old room. So I guess, I don't know, maybe they did live together before, I don't know. Anyway, Marley sings his song, that does have some dialogue from the book talking about why he's chained, and then at the end he warns Scrooge that he's going to be visited by three ghosts at 1, 2 and 3 o'clock, which is something I mentioned before. I'm not happy about that because in the book it is made clear that it's over three consecutive nights, and if you read into it you'll see that Scrooge just spends a long time with each ghost. He's not just there for like 20 minutes like in most movie adaptations. It is a very long time, but in this version they've made it abundantly clear that it is spread out over 3 hours. Anyway, the first ghost is hiding in his closet, which is another change from the book. In the book, you know, he pulls back his curtains and there's the ghost, whereas in this one he's actually going around looking for the ghost and the ghost is hiding in the cupboard. And obviously because there's no narrator and Scrooge doesn't say you look like this, we don't know what she looks like, we just hear her voice. And she reminded me a little bit of when Mary Poppins is being a bit abrupt with the children. Let me play a bit of her.
Let me make this equally clear, child. I am not any more interested in being with you than you with me, but I have in a literal sense all the time in the world, and I will not leave until I have completed my task. Now sit down.
There you go. And then she obviously takes him back in time, and the first scene is one that isn't in the book, and it's before Scrooge has been sent to school, and Scrooge is saying that this is the only Christmas that he actually really enjoyed, and then he tells a story about what happened with Fan and why he got sent to school.
On this day, I was playing with Fan, and You see, she would have fits of not being able to breathe. She collapsed. She didn't die, no, but my father, he raged with anger. By Christmas Day, he had me shipped away to a boarding school. At 3 pence a week, it was a fair trade to be rid of me.
And then, he's at school, and then it's the scene where Fan comes to take him home. He doesn't go home in this one, no. He says, you know what, I appreciate the offer, I'm staying here. Because Fan says, you know, you can come home for a couple of days, then you're going to have to go back to school, which isn't in the book. In the book, he's going home for good. And in this one, it's just a couple of days, and Scrooge is like, no, forget it, if I'm not coming back for good, I'll stay here. And that's what he does. Cuts off his nose to spite his face. And then Scrooge and Fan sing a song about their relationship and about how close they are and how, you know, when they're older, they want to spend time together as a family. And then Scrooge tells the ghost why he won't see his niece Freya is because she reminds him so much of his sister Fan. Then we go to Fezziwigs and there's the obligatory song where everyone's having fun at the party and he meets Belle. And then we get another song about Scrooge asking Belle to marry him. Have a listen to this.
I can't imagine spending life without you. Will you marry me? I promise I'll be true.
And then 1 year later, he's broken up with Belle. And we get another reprise of the song that we just heard. Obviously, well, they're not getting married this time. And then we get the scene where Belle actually is married. And I like that. You don't often see it. They changed it a bit. There's no kids in the scene. It's just Belle with her new husband. I say new husband, with her husband. Because it's many years down the line, just before Marley dies. And then we get another scene that isn't in the book at all. And Scrooge is at work and Cratchit goes in to visit him just after Marley's dead. And Scrooge is like, he's dead. I'm still working. I don't care. That's pretty much it. And then we get a final song from The Ghost of Christmas Past. I can't be bothered to play any of that. But it's just explaining that these visions are the way they are. You can't blame her. And then she leaves. Then The Ghost of Christmas Present comes up. And he's all boisterous, as you should expect. And we get a lovely song about breaking down the walls. Have a listen to this.
Break down your walls.
Break down your walls.
Smash them like you mean it. Don't be shy.
Pass
through the door.
What's
on the other side?
Open mind.
Open mind.
You made like what you find.
But you won't know if you don't ever try to try an open mind
and find the better side inside.
Now, they only go to two places, and the first one they go to is Freya's, and this is the subtext that I want to talk about. I put it to you, boys and girls, that Freya is a lesbian. And I don't have a problem with that at all. Interesting fact, boys and girls, in Victorian times, being a homosexual male was illegal. But being a homosexual woman was not illegal because Queen Victoria didn't believe that that was something that women would do. Yeah, true. That's a fact. Actually, I'm going to Google it just quickly. Okay, well, I was just spreading a myth. Have a listen to this. There is a widespread myth that Queen Victoria intervened to ensure that female homosexuality was excluded from the relevant provisions because she did not believe such a thing existed. Queen Victoria's involvement is fiction. However, the failure to acknowledge the existence of lesbians and their love is not fiction. So, in Victorian times, you could be a lesbian because it just wasn't a crime because they didn't believe in it, apparently. There you go. I don't want to go into that in depth, but that's just an interesting aside. So, yeah, here's the deal. It's not said explicitly, come here, girlfriend, let's have a snog. Snog means kiss in the UK. Bob, you might want to cover that at some point. But it's just mentioned that she's there with Isabella. And this is also said.
She has no husband.
I don't believe she feels she's lacking.
And then Freya wants to go and visit Scrooge and sing Christmas carols outside his house. And she says, and if you're not going to come and brave the snow, it'll just be Isabella and I, suggesting, you know, that they're partners. And again, I'll come back to that again a little bit later on. But that's, I'm taking that, I believe that. I believe that. I believe that's what they were going for, but they weren't explicit about it. They didn't need to be. Actually, while we're here, there is another bit about it, because they go marching off down the street to sing to Scrooge, all of them, and this is one of the lines in the song.
I like to wear trousers, laugh really loud, and I can drink more than most any man. Act like a lady, I say, that's poppycock, this is exactly who I am.
Which again, I think we're sort of alluding to the same stuff, aren't we? They get to Scrooge's and they're outside and Freya's saying, come out and see us, and shouting and that, and Scrooge is there with the ghost going, why don't I come out and see them? Why don't I open the door? And the ghost is saying, because you're a git, pretty much. Then they go and see Bob Cratchit, and he's got no other kids apart from Tiny Tim. It's just the three of them, which is funny because not the last version I covered or the one before that, but the one before that with the marionettes, they only had Tiny Tim in that version. So yeah, he's only got Tim. And we find out that Tim, on their way back from church, has found a shilling, which is nice. And it seems that they're very poor in this one. In the book, it suggests that they haven't got a lot of money, but they still have a nice time. In this one, it's sounding like they're very, very poor. And then Tim sings a song about how nice it is being there for Christmas with the family. Have a listen.
God bless this family and those who gather to share this evening and all that follow. I give this blessing because it's Christmas.
And then that song leads into carol singers outside, and Tim's like, oh, let's open the door and see the carol singers. And Bob's like, well, they're very, very poor and we've got nothing to give them. So Tim runs off, comes back with this shilling that he found, and he gives it to the carol singers outside because he's just a lovely little boy. Well done, Tim. And then Scrooge and the ghost leave, and Scrooge, I can't remember how they get onto the subject, but Scrooge tells the story about why Marley had those dollies in his room when he was dying. Have a listen.
Even just before he died, he was in a shop, and a child was begging her father for a doll. Well, Jacob couldn't stand the shrieking, so he bought the doll, not for the child, oh no, he bought it so the child couldn't have it. And then he bought all the other dolls in the store for good measure.
So then the Ghost of Christmas Future turns up, and this is like a combination of five people's whispering voices. Have a listen. That's what Future sounds like. And then so in this version, the three people that are Nick and Scrooge's staff are actually at Scrooge's house. And old Joe, who runs the beetling shop in the book, he's actually there at Scrooge's, and they're all there trying to get his stuff, and they're singing a song about it. Then he goes to see what Freya's up to. She's moved house, probably with her girlfriend. And then they go to the Cratchits, and Tiny Tim is gone, and there's a short reprise of Tim's song. I'm not going to play that bit, I can't be bothered. Then we go to the graveyard, and there's another reprise, and this is the reprise of the song about when Marley died and no one went to the funeral. Again, can't be bothered to play any of that one. And then, I sort of didn't dislike this, I didn't particularly love it, but I didn't dislike it. Scrooge wakes up in the graveyard, and there's like a gravedigger talking to him. He's like, what are you doing here? And Scrooge's like, am I dead? Actually, I'll play the conversation.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm a gravedigger. I'm doing here what I'm supposed to be doing here.
Are you digging my grave?
Not in the state you're in.
So I'm alive?
If you can ask, then you've already been answered.
You'd be surprised, dear friend. I'm completely discombobulated. What day is it?
The 25th of December.
It's Christmas. Why are you working?
Death comes on any day.
That it does, my dear man. That it does. Come by my house when you're done with your work. I'm having a grand Christmas feast. Bring your family.
Yeah, and also, just then, he told us, didn't he? He's having a party. Yeah, Scrooge is having a big old party. And he's going home and he sees the children from before, and he sends them off to buy a load of food. So they all run off, probably never come back. Actually, they do come back, we find that out later. But, you know, I don't think I would have come back. I think, well, whoa, nice, load of cash. He sees the charity collectors from the song earlier, and he invites them to the party. And he also says, come to me, I want to start giving my money away. And then he goes to see Freya, and who should answer the door? Oh, but Isabella, isn't that convenient? And he's like, oh, who are you? Oh, I know, it's Isabella. Because obviously he's seen her in the dream. And she's like, yeah, we're not lesbians. No, she doesn't say that. And he invites Freya to the party, and he says, bring Bob Cratchit, which happens. And then the final scene is the party, and when Bob Cratchit turns up, there's a little bit of a prank where Scrooge answers the door to him and says, what are you doing here on Christmas Day? And then it's like, come on in, you can have loads of time off, and also I'm going to triple your wages, everyone's happy. And that's how it ends. And we have a final reprise of Tim's song about God Bless Us Everyone. And that was it. Like I said, it's 2 hours and 8 minutes long. It's very good. The production values are very high. I'm not a massive fan of the changes that they made. To be honest, though, I wasn't offended by the whole Freya bit. That didn't bother me at all. I just thought it was interesting. I guess the whole thing was interesting. I guess I've listened to so many versions that, although I'm a purist at heart, I kind of get into a point where it's nice to have something a bit different instead of the same old take on the source material. So, yeah, I recommend having a listen to it. It's easy to find. Just type in Pipe Dreams Theatre. You'll have no trouble finding it. Or go on iTunes. Like I said, they've won an award for a recent episode. I imagine if you listen to this one, you might want to listen to some of their others. At the moment, I haven't heard any of the others, but I do intend on listening to them, yeah, over the coming weeks. But that, boys and girls, is this episode's version of A Christmas Carol, and this is something else. Well, boys and girls, it's this episode's recommendation, and this episode's recommendation is record your podcast in your pants. I've really enjoyed it. It's like a freeing sensation. I'm here with all these rippling muscles underneath inches of fat, just shouting into a microphone, and you're there envisioning me with my rippling muscles, probably without the fat, in my underpants. They've got holes. I say holes, it's just one hole. So I suppose that's, you know, it's not like there's loads of holes. It is just the one hole in the, you know, where I said, yeah, I should really get some new pants, actually. Yeah, that's the recommendation. It's not a great recommendation, to be, I mean, I'm enjoying it, so you might enjoy it. But, you know, normally I recommend a TV show or a podcast. But this episode, do you know what? Watch Seinfeld as well. There you go. There's the two recommendations. If you've never seen Seinfeld, watch it. If you have seen it, watch it again. I'm watching it again. Sometimes I work from home and have the TV on in the background. Sometimes, like when I'm doing stuff on my computer, I chuck on Seinfeld in the background. And I love it. It's a great show. And sometimes I watch it in my pants. Again, it's all about the pants. And that is it for this episode, boys and girls. And I've got to say that I have enjoyed recording in my pants. And the funny thing is, now I'm actually going to go and put some clothes on. Yeah, I'm going to have a shower and get dressed. I'm recording this first thing in the morning, you see, and it's quite a warm day. Don't worry about me getting cold sitting here in my pants. I wasn't planning on doing this. I was just going to record a little bit of it and then go and get dressed. But once I started, I thought, you know what? I can't let the listeners down. I can't ruin all this with putting clothes on. So I'm going to do it after the show, which is, yeah, that's now pretty much. I'm finishing the show. I don't know if I'll do this again. If I do it again, I probably won't mention it. I'm not going to make a massive thing in future about the whole pants thing. So then you can sort of just imagine me in my pants if you want, can't you? You can imagine what I'd say. I look like a cross between Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling, really. That's sort of me. Yeah, and chuck a bit of Brad Pitt in there as well. That's sort of what I look like, in the essence that I've got two arms and two legs and a head. Yeah, I think the similarities end about there. Yeah, anyway, if you want to get in touch, maybe you want to email me and say, put some clothes on. My email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com, or you can check out the website. That is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'm going to be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.